is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Hidden Prophecies in the Book of Esther. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Where Could I Go? After which, we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving along to face temptation, so now won't you tell me where could I go but to the
to the Lord.
it says here, John says about an angel. He said, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. The wilderness meaning a very rough place, my friends, a tough place. The wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Oh, what a queen she was, wasn't she, dear friends? Look at this. Arrayed in purple, the color of the regal woman, the queen, and scarlet. She was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. She was beautiful. She was voluptuous, gorgeous, sexy, I guess we would say now. Or as my grandkids would say, awesome, wondrous. In fact, even John said he marveled at the woman. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. She wasn't just a harlot. She was the mother of them and of all the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman, John writes, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. He didn't admire her because she was so wonderful and good. He admired her because she was so incredibly evil, it no doubt boggled his mind. How could so much evil be contained in one body or one heart, perhaps John thought. It goes on to say the woman was astride the beast. That's right, she sat on a beast. And she told the beast where to go, what to do. And the beast, because of the woman's direction, had power over peoples, many peoples and nations and many foreign languages called tongues in the Bible. And the woman and the beast sat on many waters. That means across many seas and oceans. Oh, this was a vast empire that John saw. The king of Persia, Ahasuerus, 127 provinces from India to Ethiopia, and including ancient Babylon. Today, what nation is it that has a vast empire that includes ancient Babylon or Iraq? Is it not the United States of America? Now, Jesus tells us about a city so wicked that it is responsible for all of the blood ever shed on the face of the earth. You can read about that in Matthew 23 and 24. Jesus said there is a certain city whose people are so evil that all the blood ever shed on the earth is on their head. Do you know what city that is? It's the city of Jerusalem. In Revelation, we know that Jerusalem is called that city that is known spiritually, called by God spiritually, Sodom and Egypt. How much more wicked can you get than that? And what city? Jerusalem. Here we have, and by the way, Revelation 18, verse 24 says of Mystery Babylon, this city that controls all of the commerce on the face of the earth, all of the trading, all of the sorcery and witchcraft. That city is also responsible for all the blood that was ever shed on the face of the earth. Revelation 18, verse 24. We're talking about that great city, Jerusalem, and today the Jews rule throughout the world. They have many Gentiles that kowtow down to them and obey them. But everywhere there is behind the scenes powers that are Jewish that rule. And this is included in America, where we have the so-called neocons, who are nothing more than Trotskyite Marxist communists who rule the White House and on Capitol Hill and at the Pentagon and in corporate boardrooms and in Wall Street. And when you visit Wall Street in New York City, as I have, and you look at that incredible building, what do you see? Where all of the trading men of this earth go to exchange shares of stocks and to conduct the commerce of the world, which is Mystery Babylon, Revelation 18. What do you see? It is a temple to the goddess. You don't believe me. Friends, listen. Get you a resource book about New York City and look up Wall Street. I sit at one corner of Wall Street about 100 yards away from the very place where the New York Stock Exchange is, and I saw the men and the women go in and out of that place, and I looked over their head, and there was a great statue of the goddess. And it was built as a great temple of the goddess. And if you enter New York City, the harbor there, you will see the great goddess, which is Mystery Babylon's goddess. Everyone sees her with her flaming torch of Lucifer. And now we go to another woman named Esther. In the little book of Esther, as I told you, are incredible prophetic keys of astonishing importance. And I use those words conservatively, believe it or not. For some inexplicable reason, God has chosen this book in the Old Testament. It's a book that most people just gloss over. It's a book of history. I would count on the fact that probably one-third of all the pastors in the United States of America have never even read the book of Esther. Never even read from it and don't preach from it. And if they do, they give the favored version that they have studied in their commentaries and have learned, if they have learned at all, in their cemeteries, known as seminaries. But I want you to understand exactly this, that Esther is not a tale, not a story of Jews faithful to God who were saved from their enemies by the heroine Esther and her brave cousin Mordecai. No, that is the Zionist, that is the Judaizer version and interpretation. We will look at God's interpretation, and you will understand why I say that this is one of the most important prophetic books of the Bible. These are profound prophecies, and I want you, dear friends, to get a pen and a paper and take notes. And then I want you to go back, and I'm going to give you some of the most important verses in Esther. This is going to be a discovery exercise. You're going to be discovering your destiny and that of America and its people and the whole world. First, it is necessary to realize that the name Esther is Hebrew for star. For star. Oh, she's a star. The star goddess. In Babylonia, Sumeria, Persia, she was known as the goddess Astara, or Astar, A-S-T-A-R, a star. She was also called Ishtar, or Ashtar. She even had a male version of her called Ashtoreth. The Bible talks about Baal, the god of the fire god, and Ashtoreth. And it was in ancient Israel where King Solomon backslid and became evil. And he worshiped this great goddess that we're talking about now. And he created idols, totem poles of Asherah, and brought them into the temple. And they were the things that made God jealous and angry that his place of worship had become a place of devils. In Germania, ancient Germany, her name was Ostara. In Greece, the people call her Astarte. In Babylon, listen to this, she was called the triple goddess. Her number was 6, but because she was called the triple goddess, whose symbol was the divine triangle, the symbol of the vulva, the delta sign, the goddess of sex. They tripled her number and her holy number in Babylon was 666. Esther. Now, you have to understand that the book of Esther tells the story of a very wicked woman named Esther, the star goddess, 666. She takes upon herself the name of Star, but that's not her real name. It's another deceptive name. In fact, the book of Esther says her name is Hadassah or Myrtle. But she takes upon herself the name of Esther or Star. I want you to understand the vital importance of these prophecies in the book of Esther. Now, the book of Esther, of course, is about someone named Esther. Now, my Bible, which is published by Thomas Nelson Publishers, it's the New Strong's Reference Bible, and it has a commentary here that talks about the book of Esther at the very beginning of the book. It talks about how wonderful Esther is and about the plot of Haman that brought great danger to the Jews. And it says, but beautiful Esther and the counsel of her wise cousin Mordecai prevail. It says here Esther's Hebrew name. Now, again, this is not the Bible itself, but is the commentary. And you can't always trust commentaries. But here's what these scholars say. Esther's Hebrew name was Hadassah or Myrtle. But her Persian name, Esther, was derived from the Persian word for star or stara. The Greek title for this book is Esther, and the Latin title is Hester, Hester. Okay, and as I mentioned to you before, Esther was the star goddess in Babylonia, Sumeria, Persia. She was known throughout the world. She was known as the goddess of 1,000 names and 1,000 faces. In Greece, the people call her Artemis, Astarte. You'll know her by such names as Aphrodite or Venus. She was called Juno and by many other names. But in Babylon, she was called the triple goddess because her symbol was the triangle, the sign of her, unfortunately, her female organ. And because of it, her number was 6, but they gave her the triple 6 number, 666. And by the way, even the scholar Dr. Barbara Walker mentions this in her book, The Women's Encyclopedia of Myths and Secrets, that you can get at your library. And you can study this for yourself, my friends, also in various encyclopedias, Collier's Encyclopedia Britannica, and so forth. Now, let's study more about what the Bible says about this Esther. In the Bible, this Esther is seen to be a Jewish concubine. A concubine who became queen of Persia by virtue of her great beauty, her allure, and yes, her sexual charm. Esther won a contest, I suppose, in a way like, some of the contests we see on the reality shows today, The Bachelorette and all of those. Well, Esther won a contest to be the new queen after the real queen, whose name was Vashti, V-A-S-H-T-I, Vashti, was ousted. It seems that Vashti was an upstanding moral woman. Now, there came a time when the king of Persia, Ahasuerus, was having, all I can call it, was a drunken party. A drunken party. And the Bible says that there was wine in abundance. That's a direct quote. Wine in abundance. And the king had dictated or ruled that at this great party, everyone could drink or do whatever was according to every man's pleasure. Boy, talk about a satanic bacchanalia or festival. This was it. Every man was told, do what is according to your pleasure. and the wine flowed in abundance. And of course, there was dancing, no doubt, and partying and great eating. And then the king decided in his drunkenness, his stupor, knowing that he had one of the most beautiful women in the world, no doubt, in his Queen Vashti, he ordered the court lieutenants to go to her place, where she was actually having a little fling with the women. And he said, bring her back with you. Tell her I want her to show off her beauty to my party. In other words, basically, my friends, let's get real here. He wanted her to do a little striptease dance for all the men. Or at least go part of the way toward that. He wanted her to show off her beautiful body to the men. So he could say, I have the most beautiful woman in the world. Well, Vashti wasn't going to go along with that. I don't know how much morality she had, but she had enough to say, absolutely not. She refused to parade around, whether it was nude or not. She refused to show off her body to the drunken guest at the king's brawling party. Well, that angered the king. Queen wasn't doing what he said, and listen, you're supposed to do what the king says. And then the men turned to the king, to King Ahasuerus, and said, why, we sure hope this doesn't get out, Your Highness. If the word gets around the kingdom that the women, the wives, don't have to do what their men tell them to do, this could start a real rebellion. In other words, we could have women's liberation movement right here in Persia. If the women don't have to do what their men tell them to do, why, King, you better do something about this. And you know, King Ahasuerus was very embarrassed. You know he was embarrassed. His queen refused to show up. She told him, basically, get lost. I'm not going to show off my body for you and your drunken friends. She wasn't going along with the king's filthy edicts. And he decided to make an example of Vashti. And so he ousted her. He took away her crown.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.